I've been blessed by God. As a matter of fact, any good thing that is associated with me is of God. I know that in my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. And I am thankful for Him and all He has done. I'm also thankful to report to all of you who are here that I just want you men to take this back home, that our elders attend these meetings. Not some of our elders, but all of our elders. Please exhort the brothers of the places that does happen. Oh, it's good to be here. It's good to have you here. Yes, Brother Aaron, that's right. I persisted, but I persisted not because of what I wanted, but because of what I knew was here when the brother and sister met, and what was possible when we met together. And the Lord did not allow it to pass by this time. I'm so thankful for that. It is so good to be here. Now, you know, you have not heard me or seen me up here since the very beginning. I've had nothing to say. And so now, in these hours that I have, well, one shot, this is it. When I chose this passage of Scripture, I love this thought. I mean, those of you who know me know that the idea of the words abundant and utterance just kind of fit me to a T. I like that. And I knew that, you know, it wasn't, you know, one of the weightier passages of Scriptures. So I thought that I would have a little compensation for that. Brother Webster brought this to me. See with what large letters I speak to you. This is good that we are here. I've thought of Peter many times this week. Lord, it is good that we are here. Every time I see another one of these revelations, so to say, of the Lord revealed, Brother Dan, I say, oh Lord, how good it is that we are here. This is wonderful. Psalm 145. My text is verse 7. I did not put that, Brother Gibbon, even though it is red. You read the red and move ahead, as you said, and mine is in red. They shall abundantly utter the memory. What does it say? Of thy great goodness, and they shall sing of thy righteousness. I'm not singing. My children did that. They sang of the righteousness of God, and that song pretty well says it. Amen. What the Lord did. What is profitable utterance? It's a good question. You could say that it is that which assists man to be in favor with God. You usually do not find it on talk radio or on television, fictional books, self-help books, tabloids, newspapers, the internet. It's not to say that it can't be there. It's just usually not there. I mean, those members have not been rendered for the use of righteousness as they ought to be. And just because our Lord did speak through a beast of burden one time in the Old Testament, that doesn't mean we should go looking in those places for the word of the Lord. The Lord speaks among His people. Yes, He does. Now, I want to offer you this. First of all, if anybody wants a copy of this message, I have some out there next to Brother Dallas's. I put it, Brother, on the right side of yours so that I have some of those initials in front. But I didn't put my name on there. So my name's not on my sermon. And so if it's good, you can put it on there or yours or anybody else's. I'm not much into copywriting what God has said. I don't want to think about being held accountable for that. But if it's not good, just please file it away somewhere where it won't be found. I've prayed that it will be good, and I know that you have too. But now when profitable utterance is abundant, I want to be there. If we can drive, we will drive. If we have to fly, we will fly. If we can walk, we will walk. If it's recorded on tape, we'll hear it. If it's written down, we will read it. If our bodies cannot go where the word is being spoken, yet we know that it is being spoken, then we will agree with that and we will say amen. And we will bless the Lord in faith because we know that thy word is true from the beginning. And every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. We know this. I want to be there. The text for this message is verse 7. But my intention in this message is to center in verse 7 and to look backward within the text and then forward within the text and just see what it is that David is saying. And I intend to show you that there are great, maybe abundant benefits that come when profitable utterance is abundant. Now, this passage is an excellent example of how well God composes His words and forms His thoughts and puts them in our hearts. I struggle when I speak. I make an introductory statement, and even though I have an outline, I struggle with holding the content together so that it really makes sense. I have to work at it. And when I have worked my hardest, I still wonder whether I have actually done this. God does not have this problem. Amen. When He speaks in His Word, He has not left out anything. He has not put in too much. Never would anybody look at God's Word and say, "Oh Lord, you're too wordy here."
Yes.
It is perfect in all its ways. Now, David proclaims that abundant and profitable utterance is, first of all, due to God. We will see this. We owe it to Him. And secondly, that this same utterance is beneficial to man. As we look at the beginning of this chapter, David says, "I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever." Now, this is my introduction, if you're taking your own notes. David begins by making a very broad statement of purpose in his life. He and his spirit has set himself aside for the purpose of extolling God. This is why I am here. I am here for you. Now, David extols or upholds our Lord as God and King of his life. And the success or failure in every person is just this simple. The one that they individually set up as king in their heart will determine their success or failure in God's eyes. David says, "My king is God." David commits himself to this purpose for a time without end.
Amen.
I don't understand it. I know the Hebrews didn't understand it. They had this word, Brother Dallas, is that Olam Adah, or close there? Time without end. You can see I'm not well versed on it. It's like I know a little Hebrew and a little Greek, you know, and one's a baker and the other's a cobbler, and that's about it. David reveals the same spirit of understanding as Paul had. Paul understood, as he wrote to Timothy, that physical training, you know, is of some value, but godliness has value for what? For the promise of both this present life and the life to come. This is time without end.
Amen.
This is our purpose. And the issue of extolling and blessing God begins now and is forever. If a person thinks in his or her own mind that they will start extolling or blessing God in heaven, they're sadly mistaken. If they don't start now, they will not begin or continue there. It won't happen.
Amen.
Now, David, in this introduction in verse 2, makes a very disciplined statement of purpose. And I will confess to you that I have fallen short of this. And I know that you will say this too. But David has confessed in here that he doesn't just have one big broad goal, but he has short-term goals. And this one short-term goal will help him accomplish his long-term goal. David will accomplish this endless pursuit of praise and blessing and extolling of God one day at a time. Each day he will set up this day. My purpose this day is to extol God, my King. That's what this day is for. And tomorrow he will wake up with the same thought on his mind. And the next day the same thought on his mind. This also should be our goal. To have the vision that sees beyond the years, even beyond this life, to the next life. To extol and bless and praise God forever is our highest aspiration. And you cannot just wait till the end to do it. You must begin it now.
Amen.
And so as we begin, I want to tell you that I need to pray. I need to pray for me, for my shortcomings, and that God would use my tent this day. Our Father and our Lord, you know my sins, and I know you have forgiven them. And Father, I ask that you do not allow the evil one to remind me of any of them, especially at this time. And Lord, that you might use me, that every utterance of my mouth may be praise to you and edification to those who are here. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, in verse 3, first point, God's unsearchable greatness demands abundant utterance. It literally demands it.
Amen.
Screams out, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And His greatness is unsearchable." He goes on to say, "One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare His mighty acts." Now, God's greatness is unsearchable to begin with because of His high position. Isaiah understood this as he says, "As the heavens, what? Are higher than the earth." God says, "My ways, higher than your ways. My thoughts, higher than your thoughts." Job understood this in Job chapter 9. We don't have time. Time does not permit. Read it yourself. Job chapter 9. He begins that chapter by saying, "I know this of a truth." And after he says that, he extols the greatness of God. Everything that God does with creation, both physical and spiritual. The great men of God understood the height of God. Job, Isaiah, any of these men stretched their physical bodies as far as they could stretch. Stretched their minds as far as they could stretch, and they still knew that God was out of their reach. They had to have a knowledge of grace. They had to have. When I look at this thought of the unsearchable greatness of God, it gives me very good background and very good understanding for what our brother Paul said to the Philippian church in chapter 2, where he speaks of Jesus, where it says he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, where we're told that he emptied himself, where he took on the form of man, that he suffered the lowest kind of suffering that could, and we then get a good picture of where he was and where he came. Doesn't that just cry out for abundant utterance to God? What one word can you say to describe that? You can't fill it up in your lifetime. What did John say? If the whole world could hold the books, there wouldn't be enough books. Now, this very important thing about unsearchable greatness, we are told in verse 4, also has to be passed from one generation to the next. And while we have seen the benefits in this world when it is not, we see how darkness just encompasses a land when it's not passed to the next generation. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and they shall declare thy mighty acts. And the greatest gift that one generation can pass on to the next generation is the sincere reverence for the unsearchable greatness of God. Just give it to them. Show it to them. And the best way to do this, we are told in this passage, is to speak of His mighty acts and to praise His works in their presence.
Amen.
Have the little ones, you tell them what God has done. Don't tell them that God has done, what He has done. We'll speak of that in a minute. We understand the words of the Lord to impress them on the children, to talk about them when you sit down at home, when you walk on the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. To tie them as symbols on our hands and bind them on our foreheads. To write them on the door frames of your houses and your gates. You know, it saddens me to see some of the toys that children often bring to the assembly. Dolls, action figures, handheld games, wearing and playing of jewelry that bears images of this world. That kind of saddens me. What is it that parents give to their children that is molding them for eternity? What do they give them that will give them assurance in this life? What wisdom do they receive that gives them the spiritual advantage over this world? Now that's important.
Amen.
We are to pass the profitable utterance on. Let them hear and let them see of the faithful endurance of the saints. You see, by doing this in their hour of trial, when it does come upon them, and it will, and you probably won't be there, parents, they will be able to call upon God and be victorious also.
Amen.
Let them see and let them know the things of God. And let them be confident in these things. Let them have the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us.
Amen.
And we know if He hears us, what? Whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of Him. Let them know these things. This is what the psalmist is telling us here so eloquently. Pass these things along. Praise God from one generation to the next. You know, this is an interactive thing. Interactive is kind of a buzzword today, isn't it? Do you have an interactive TV? Do you have an interactive CD? Do you have interactive internet? The world offers virtual reality. The Lord offers eternal reality. All those other things are passing away. But passing the praise of God along to one generation after you is interactivity that is profitable.
Amen.
Now, secondly, I want us to see that God's people profit by dialoguing about the majesty and the works of God.
Amen.
This is also probably the greatest profitable area for us. But as I read this section of the text, I see that David is speaking and others are responding. One may speak, the other may sing. Maybe they will sing back and forth. Maybe it's adults just as simple as the Praise Ye the Lord Hallelujah that we used to sing in VBS. But what a wonderful experience it is to praise God, as we say, corporately. You can see here the benefits of what Paul had wrote, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart. We understand this. I believe that the Holy Spirit has taught me more perfectly through the hearing of the Word of God from the mouth of saints than I have from just reading the Word. There is something there. I know my ears are more sensitive than my eyes. But there is more to it than that physical observation. You see, there is the Holy Spirit in one person and the Holy Spirit in the other person, and the Word of God traveling from mouth to ear, but from heart to heart. And there is a conviction of the Spirit, and there is an encouragement of the Spirit, and there is a fellowship of the Spirit. And I would like to encourage these people that train others in methods of speed learning to consider that. In these verses, we see things. Now, if you'll notice verses 5, 6, and 7, I'll just read this. I'm building up to something here I want you to participate in. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of thy might, of thy awesome or terrible acts. I will declare thy greatness, and they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. Can you sense this?
Yeah.
One group doing this, David doing this. One group doing this, David doing it. Back and forth, volleying the word of God. Years ago, we used to practice responsive reading. It used to be regular. Now, I desire that all the reading of God's Word arouse some kind of good response. Nevertheless, it is good to affirm everything of God so that others may hear what God has done. You know, Psalm 8 says, O Lord our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And then someone echoes, you know, you have set your glory above the heavens. Psalm 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. And someone else says, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. 23rd Psalm, someone says, the Lord is my shepherd. And another person says, I shall not want. Psalm 4:3 says, but know that the Lord hath set him a part that is godly for himself. And someone else says, now the Lord will hear when I call unto him. Now the Lord rewarded me according to thy righteousness. And someone says, well, according to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. I have in mind that this responsive reading that you have from 1 Chronicles 16 is a good opportunity to view this, and I'd like your participation. What we're seeing is the time when the Ark of God is being brought up from Obed-Edom. And what proceeds is a very impressive response between David and God's people. This is beautiful. And so if you have one of these, if you don't, snuggle up to someone that does. I'd like for you to stand with me. And here's what I have in mind. I'm going to read the plain print, and I want all of you to read the bold print out loud. We need to clarify that. You may have forgotten what responsive reading is. Now, I'm going to read the plain print, but whatever I read, I want you to read the bold print more impressively. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to tell you something good. I want you to say it to me greater. We're going to go back and forth. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on His name. Why, sing to Him. Sing praise to Him.
Tell of all His wonderful acts.
Glory in His holy name.
Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice.
Look to the Lord and His strength.
Seek His face always.
Remember the wonders He has done.
His miracles and His judgments He announced.
O descendants of Israel, His servant.
O sons of Jacob.
He is the Lord our God.
His judgments are on all the earth.
He remembers His covenant forever.
The word that He commanded for a house and generations.
The covenant He made with Abraham.
He oath He swore by Isaac.
He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree.
To Israel as an everlasting covenant.
Now don't faint now. To you I will give the land of Canaan.
And the portion you will inherit.
But they were but few in number.
Few indeed, and strangers in it.
They wandered from nation to nation.
From one kingdom to another.
He allowed no man to oppress them.
For their sake He
refused. Amen. Do not touch these anointed ones.
Do my prophets no harm.
Other side. Sing to the Lord, all the earth.
Proclaim His salvation day after day.
Declare His glory among the nations.
His marvelous deeds among all peoples.
For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise.
He is to be feared of all gods.
But all the gods of the nations are idols.
But the Lord made
them. Amen. Splendor and majesty are before Him.
Strength and glory in His dwelling place.
Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory to His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness.
Tremble before Him, all the earth.
The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved.
Let the heaven rejoice, let the earth be glad, let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns.
Let the sea resound in all that is in it.
Let the field be jubilant, and everything in it.
Then the trees of the forest will sing.
They will sing for joy.
Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good.
His love endures forever.
Cry out, save us, O God, our Savior. Gather us and deliver us from the nations.
That we may give thanks to Your holy name, that we may glory in Your praise.
Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting.
And all we say,
amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. And praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now that is profitable utterance. Now if there are those among us who don't think that's profitable utterance, take them aside and instruct them more accurately the word truth. That is profitable. It would be a benefit to us to continue that method of profitable utterance.
Yes.
God told Hosea, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And that will help prevent that. Psalm 106 is a great example of speaking the mighty acts of God towards Israel. It was a profitable utterance for a reminder so that they would not stray as their ancestors did. Now, in my life, I've heard a lot of preaching. I've done a lot of preaching. Unfortunately, I think I've done more unprofitable preaching than profitable preaching, but I pray that I'm getting close to where that scale is being balanced the other way. I've heard a lot of people say that you need to believe God, you need to trust God, you need to praise God. But I hear very few people tell me what God has said, what God has done, and what God is doing, and what God will do. I need specifics. Mm-hmm. Utterance without specifics is not profitable. Mm-hmm. I need testimonies of what God has done. I need to hear what God has done and not that God has done. If I don't hear what God has done, I lose who God is. Mm-hmm. I want to know what He has done. When I know what He has done, when He does, I'll know He's the one doing it. I look at something happening in this world and I say, that looks like my God. Now, utterance is profitable when it is truth. Utterance is profitable when it puts the speakers and hearers in touch with God. And utterance is profitable when it moves men to commit acts of righteousness. Now, proclaiming what God has done profits the hearers by confirming the nature of God in their hearts.
Amen.
We need that confirmation. I need it from you. You need it from me. I have a dear friend who does not see that it is necessary that he assemble with other people. He said he worships God, and I have no doubt that he worships God. I would not doubt him on that. But there is a need he has to be with the saints in the assembly.
Yes. Yes.
He needs that. And so do they. They need his presence, and they need to hear him utter these great things of God. I tell you, we grow like this, friends.
Amen.
You see, when we were joined with Christ, Paul said that to the Ephesians and the Corinthians, we were joined with Christ. We didn't join a book or a reader's club. We didn't join a passive information sharing network. We did. When we were joined to Christ, we were joined to the eternal purpose of God. I mean, this is a big thing. When we gather together, oh, this thought came to me, and it may not mean a thing to you, but I know to some of you it will. This thought, it just allowed even my body to feel good. When we are gathered together, you know, I feel like I'm kind of like one of David's soldiers. In the evening, sitting around the campfire. Now, there's some soldiers there that have been in the army longer than I, and some younger. That we're sitting around this campfire, and we speak to one another about the glorious victories of the captain of our salvation.
Yes.
Now, you know, some of these soldiers bring out victories from thousands of years ago. They talk about. Some of them bring about victories that they remember personally being in battle with. Some of these bring up victories that just happened that day or maybe hours ago, giving praise to God. But we sit around, it's like this campfire, and we're telling about the might and the strength and the wisdom and the eternal nature of the captain of our salvation. Let me tell you, that's prophetic utterance. Profitable utterance. When you are gathered together and you are sharing the goodness of God with one another, I'm telling you, it just makes you want to rise up and be ready when that you hear that trumpet call to go forth to battle.
Amen.
What a glorious thought that is. Some time ago, I received a letter from some of the saints in Missouri. And this was quite timely. I was preparing to outline some sermons for the summer. And I had finished the outline, and 2 days later I received the letter. Now, when I received this letter, they stated they'd been praying for me, and it's always good to know that you've been prayed for. It's always a good thing. I never reject anybody who wants to pray for me. But these saints told me exactly what they were praying for. Specifically. And when I received this letter, I was standing and I was reading, and I sat down in my chair. Because they had no knowledge, had no contact with me. And I looked at the prayer of their heart to God for me, and I held in one hand this letter, and I held in the other hand the outline for my sermons for this summer. And they were the same. Some of the topics were identical to what they had been praying for me for. Do you sense that? Some people said, coincidence. Oh my. How could they ever think such a thing? Why? I mean, how could this be possible? Some say, well, this is just what God done. Yeah, God did this. But how did He do this? He did this through profitable utterance. There was profitable utterance in that camp. There was profitable utterance in this camp. There was a communion of the Holy Spirit between us. God knew what we needed. And even though they didn't know that's what we needed, God prompted them to pray for that for us. I saw it. Our camps were united. During that time, we were around the same fire. Same victories were being shared. I praise God for that. I pray that all people will see the profitability of being the object of the utterance of God. It's good when God speaks good things of you. Be that person. Now, as I thought about this, I began to think when I went to bed that night, you know, that was one of the best days of my life. Seeing what God had done. Not only in my life, but in others' lives. What's the end of your day like when you put your head on your pillow? I have in my mind what God wants the end of our day to be like every day. I have in my mind that God wants old men dreaming dreams of the Lord's mighty works. Don't get scared here. Young men laying their head on the pillow, seeing visions of going forth in the Spirit of the Lord. Catching the wisdom of the Lord and seeing how the power of God will allow them to cast down imaginations and every high thought that exalteth itself up against the knowledge of God. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I sense that as a great closing for every day.
Yes.
How is that possible? Some people say, well, you know, that can't be possible. That dreaming of dreams, that seeing of visions, that must have just been for those people in that day. I don't think so, friends.
Amen.
And I believe that that is a direct response of the way the Lord works when we are present, when profitable utterance is abundant. Because when you hear the Word of God and it is alive in you, you then, maybe you look back and you say, these were the things that the Lord has done. And you look forward and you begin to catch a vision. These are the things that the Lord will do. You will wake up that next morning invigorated, filled with God's Spirit, ready to go out to battle. Now David saw these things from afar off. Angels long to look in these things, but we participate in them when we engage in profitable utterance.
Amen.
And the more abundant it is, the more power that is there.
Amen.
Our goal should be then to string as many of these days next to each other as possible.
Amen.
It's physically in this world not profitable to be in the renewal assembly every day. Someday it will.
Amen.
Profitable utterance, we're going to see, comforts God's people.
Amen.
Now in the 8th verse, it says, the Lord is gracious, the Lord is full of compassion, the Lord is slow to anger, and of great mercy. Now the Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. Now I am not going to elaborate as much on the rest of this chapter. And it's not because I don't have the time, but because God put it upon my heart to emphasize certain things more than other things. This is just the way it is. But I do want to show you these things. God's grace, God's compassion, God's anger, and God's mercy. Right there in that verse. And then we'll move on to verse 9. I want to tell you that God's grace cannot be more fully understood with human adjectives. Think about it. How many ways have you heard it? Man's formation of various doctrines of grace adds nothing to the profitability of grace. And usually it only distracts them. Now God's compassion has only the real need of the needy in mind. That's it. Looks right to the heart of the matter. God's anger is perfectly timed and executed to bring about a righteous end.
Yes.
God's mercy reaches down from unattainable heights and picks us up from unrecoverable depths and seats us in His glory. That's all I have to say on that matter. Now, profitable utterance reveals the will of God in all His works. Now, we understand in verse 9 there that the Lord is good to all and His tender mercies are over all His works. And I'd like to emphasize His works and tender mercies within the context of the same sentence. We know that God wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Amen?
Amen.
We know this. How does He go about doing this? Well, it's through this this abundant, profitable utterance that men discover these things. Now, tender mercies is a way of describing God's touch on us. Profitable utterance renders God's tender mercies towards His children so that they can know assuredly that his anger lasts only for a moment, but favor lasts a lifetime. These things are made known to us so that we may know that weeping may remain for the night, but joy comes in the morning. See? Now, tender mercies are his sweet words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. The benefits of God's tender mercies can reach you, and when they do, you can probably see in your life what William Cowper saw in his life when he wrote his hymn to God, there is a fountain filled with blood. Tender mercy of God. Our salvation is by the mercy of God in Christ. And when his tender mercies are uttered in abundance, then I look and I say, then there though I, as vile as he, may wash my sins away. His tender mercies show me that he loves me. If I read about the destruction of the world by water or by fire, he reminds me that his judgment is upon the world. But he reminds me that he is there to save me. He may prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. But he is right there reminding me of his tender mercies that keep me focused on the salvation that's coming to me and not the destruction that's coming to the world. Because of his tender mercies, I can comfortably conclude that all God's works shall praise him.
Amen.
O Lord, and thy saints will bless you.
Amen.
They will speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, and to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. And all of this is through abundant, profitable utterance. I do have to tell you that this is one of the reasons why these one-liner songs aren't real favorites of mine. They just don't say enough.
Amen.
Now, thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and profitable utterance always proclaims the gospel of the kingdom. This is in the text right here, 13. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Thy dominion endureth throughout all generations, and the Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down or bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in their due season. Thou opens thy hand, they satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, is holy in all his words, and the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him.
Amen.
Now to all, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He will also hear their cry, and he'll save them, and the Lord preserveth them that love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. Now profitable utterance proclaims the gospel of the kingdom, and we need the gospel of the kingdom proclaimed not only to those who are lost, but to those who are saved.
Amen.
The gospel of the kingdom, it is an eternal kingdom. We've already heard it is for this life and the life to come. The gospel of the kingdom, it is a kingdom of freed and healed people. Mm-hmm. Jesus, what did he say? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's been anointed to preach the good news. He has sent me to proclaim what? Freedom. Freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, release for the oppressed, proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. It is a kingdom where those who hunger and thirst after righteousness are satisfied by the King himself. That's what kind of kingdom it is. It's a kingdom whose king is righteous in all his ways and all his works. All of them.
Amen.
Whether he's in the seat of authority, so they say, on earth or not, wherever he's at, all of everything of him is righteous.
Yeah.
He's righteous in heaven, righteous on earth.
Yeah.
It is a kingdom where people can freely address the king that needs to be proclaimed.
Yeah.
It's a kingdom where the king is close to the people and he will hear them. That needs to be proclaimed abundantly.
Amen.
It is a kingdom of fulfilled desire and salvation from evil.
Amen.
The proclamation of the kingdom is essential for all the saints so that they might fully believe and then see that which is theirs. And here is the conclusion. That which is theirs. You need to know what is yours. I need you to tell me what is mine. Profitable utterance, you see, makes this possible. It allows you to know that whether it's Paul or Apollos or Cephas, the world, life, whatever it is, all are yours and you're Christ and Christ is God's.
Amen.
Profitable utterance gives you advantage over the devil.
Amen.
And over the world. And there are only two places in all of creation, in reality, you know. There is heaven, there is hell. Everything else will be gone, done away with. There is a place where profitable utterance is abundant and a place where it is not. And we make the choice each and every day where we want to be. I hope and pray that you have come to the same conclusion that I have. It's in verse 21. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let the flesh bless His holy name forever and ever.
Amen.
Therefore, in profitable utterance is abundant, I want to be there. If I have to fly, if I have to drive, if I have to walk, I want to be there. If I'm not there, I will know that it is spoken.